the months since the death of George Floyd, the black man killed by a police knee to his neck, some police departments have scaled back the use of force officers can use. But a report in Mother Jones details a company which helps other police departments craft policies that depart from the national consensus. That's a tangible thing, a document crafted by police. And this for-profit company advises allowing a wide range of use of force, which means police and cities are covered when incidents occur. Madison Pauley's piece in Mother Jones is Meet the Company That Writes the Policies That Protect Cops. The company's called Lexipol, and Madison joins us on Skype from Berkeley, California. Hi, Madison.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, tell us, what exactly does Lexipol do?
So Lexipol is a private for-profit company that writes policy handbooks for police departments. And what they do is they guide the many decisions that police officers make on a day-to-day basis. Those decisions can range from anything from whether to pull over a car and make an arrest, or fire a taser, or not use force at all. What Lexipol does is they sell pre-crafted versions of these policy handbooks to police departments, which the police departments can then take and modify or change or adapt themselves, or just take it in full.
And so Lexipol, as you write, has thousands of clients. And this is especially appealing to smaller police departments who just don't have the resources to rewrite or update their handbook. So what does Lexipol do? Does it literally write the handbook?
That's exactly what it does. And like you said, it's really appealing to small departments that might not have the time or the resources to put in crafting these policy handbooks themselves. They will do that service for the smaller police departments and even some larger ones.
And we should say, though, yes, they offer the ease of having somebody craft your policy book. Lexipol sells themselves to cities and police departments as a company that can help them avoid having to pay out on misconduct cases.
That's absolutely right. There was some research done a few years ago by a couple of scholars that looked at Lexipol's marketing, and they found that this really is how the company sells itself to police departments, saying that not only will police departments that adopt Lexipol policies have fewer lawsuits when they are sued for something that happens, they'll pay out less money. And so it's unclear how rigorously that claim has been vetted, because some of the police departments that have adopted Lexipol policies are indeed facing lawsuits over incidents that fall within the purview of that policy.
Yeah. Well, and the way Lexipol can make this promise is that they write these expansive policies on use of force. And you open your story with that of Chris Jackson. He was a black 22-year-old on probation for a drug offense in a motel in outside Lake Tahoe with a girlfriend. They were having an argument. Someone called the police. When they arrive, Chris Jackson, conscious of his probation, tries to get out a bathroom window in the back. He's hanging from the window with both hands, just his shorts on, and another police officer sees him there and shoots and kills him. No weapon visible. Now, one would think, well, shouldn't that police officer be charged for not trying some other way of bringing this young man in? But the policy written by Lexipol was used by that department, specifically two words. Can you explain?
Absolutely. The district attorney declined to charge the officer who shot Chris Jackson. The officer's name was Joshua Kling, because they decided that they couldn't prove that a reasonable officer in the same situation wouldn't have done the same thing. Even though there was no gun found at the scene, it could still be self-defense, maybe. But the way that Lexipol's involved in this case is the police department's policies have come up in a lawsuit filed by Chris Jackson's parents, challenging not only what they say was an excessive use of force by Officer Kling, but also the policy written by Lexipol and used by the South Lake Tahoe Police Department. That policy said that officers could use deadly force to protect themselves or others from any imminent threat of serious injury or death. But then it went on to say that an imminent threat could include any situation in which a reasonable officer would believe a suspect had a weapon and intended to use it. The challenge to Lexipol and in this lawsuit to the city and the officer is that this actually violates the Constitution and violates previous Supreme Court rulings on when police officers can use force.
Well, so again, just saying that an officer could use deadly force if there was an imminent threat of serious injury or death, as opposed to an immediate threat. So an imminent threat opens the door for thinking that there might be a gun when in fact that there wasn't, as opposed to seeing someone point a gun at you or believing you do, which is an immediate threat. Many departments have that policy. It's that kind of language that Lexapol writes into policies. We mentioned the National Consensus Policy on Use of Force. That's a collaboration between 11 major law enforcement groups. One of the things they require is for cops to try de-escalation techniques before using force. So where does Lexapol stand on de-escalation? And what are some of the other recommendations that Lexapol might make that maybe major police organizations don't?
The National Consensus Policy on Use of Force requires cops to try de-escalation techniques before using force if possible. That's a requirement. Lexapol, on the other hand, doesn't require police officers to try de-escalation techniques. Instead, in their use of force policy that they've just recently published, police officers should use nonviolent strategies and techniques to decrease the intensity of a situation, basically to de-escalate it. What I've learned from experts and activists is that we should pay attention to the use of the word should in this policy, because Lexapol itself and its co-founder, Bruce Prayett, who is still a board member of the company, talks a lot about the use of the word should versus the word shall in the policies. And while should means this would be great if you did it, this would be good, this might even be the norm, there are exceptions and it's not mandatory to de-escalate.
Whereas if they had the word shall, it means you must. Whereas should means you could. And you mentioned Bruce Prayett, who's one of the founders of the company, now on the board, a former cop who now is a lawyer who will also offer himself up to represent police departments when they are sued. And some have pointed to this convenient, you know, loop that he will write the policy and then he will offer to, you know, for a fee, defend the police department. You know, what are you hearing from people who study police about this?
Right. So one staff attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union calls this a form of double dipping. Bruce Prayett, he himself used to be a police officer in Orange County, and he twice beat misconduct lawsuits, according to a Los Angeles Times profile from the early 90s. After that, he went on to become a lawyer, inspired by his own defense attorney, who went on to represent one of Rodney King's assailants. So this is something that he's done a long time, defending police in many, many lawsuits, whether he's defending individual officers or the cities, especially in cases involving use of force and in cases like Chris Jackson's, where somebody ends up dead.
You mentioned Chris Jackson. You end your piece with his mother, Angela, driving to South Lake Tahoe to stay in the motel room where he was shot, trying to understand it. What's the status of their lawsuit?
The police officer involved has retired. And right now, while it looks like the argument that the officer used excessive force against Chris Jackson will likely go to trial or may go to trial, a federal judge right now is looking at the question of whether the use of force policy of the police department that was written by Lexapol is unconstitutional because of that language around imminent versus an immediate threat. And what I think all of this episode really goes to show is just how dire the consequences can be in police policy. For Chris Jackson, this policy may have been a matter of life and death.
That's Mother Jones reporter Madison Pauly. We'll link you to her article at herenow.org. Madison, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And again, many police departments are pulling back on force, but as to Lexapol, we reached out. While the company couldn't comment on the Jackson family lawsuit because it's still pending, it said it's confident its policies are consistent with state and federal laws. And to use of force, Lexapol says its policies do require officers to use de-escalation techniques when time and circumstances permit.